Fox News, and live FM talk radio. KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. And live right now with your calls.
The Weekend on News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
And the first call this hour, guess who is on the phone? He is one of the sharpest minds in comedy. He's an OG. He has seen it all. He's a comedy veteran. I can't believe he's on the phone with me. It's Willie Barcina. Hey, Willie Barcina. Is it Barcena or Barcina?
You can say it however you want, bro. All right?
I like you. Appearing at the Laugh Factory at the Silver Legacy tonight and tomorrow. I've seen your videos. I know you've been on The Tonight Show like a dozen times. I saw the pictures with you and Jay Leno and everything. Saw a couple of your videos. I love you because you are just, you get up there and you tell a funny story or upbringing and you go from there. And you have a lot of material because, well, like, I like the story of your mom serving you. What was it? Mashed potatoes and oh, you take over, Willie. Tell us about yourself.
First of all, man, I'm really happy to be here in Reno because it's Labor Day. And then also they're having a big rib thing, right? Which is really cool. A lot of fat bastards are here. Here it is. You're talking about food. You know what's funny, man? I have three boys, and it's so different, man. Generations, because my boys will not eat bologna, man. Because you hear them, they'll say things like, "Oh, Dad, it's processed food. The chemicals that are in bologna." I'm like, shut up, dude. I was raised on that. My generation never cared about processed food. We had a night. Bologna to us was delicious because it came with a song. My bologna has a first name, OSAAR. Remember that?
Came with a song.
Yeah, and that made it delicious. We didn't think about the chemicals. We thought about the song, man. That's why this new generation is a little soft, man. I think the chemicals and all that processed food is why we're strong. So, I think eating all that healthy food is what gets you sick. So, I'm just sharing with you.
Yeah, I was going to say, this doesn't sound like comedy. This sounds like how you really feel. Now, I found out it was your mom. What she made you was red chili and mashed potatoes.
My mom, man. Listen, my mom passed away a couple of years ago. I loved her very, this is the thing that I love about, how she raised us. I was raised Catholic, by the way. I don't know if you were raised with religion. How about you? Were you raised with religion as a kid?
Presbyterian, though, went every Sunday.
Okay, see, so you get it, man. We were both tortured. When I was a kid, I was raised hardcore Catholic, man, and I was, when I was a kid, my mother, we had 20 pictures of Jesus in the two-bedroom house, man, and I thought he was my uncle, I was like, when's Uncle Jesse coming over, and she was, here it is. I'm here in Reno, and I'm not supposed to gamble because it's a sin to gamble, man. And it's a sin to drink, and I do both. So I feel so guilty every day here because I'm at a table and I have a beer in one hand, cards in the other, and especially if I'm losing, I'm like, then I start talking. That's when I start talking to God, like, "Dear Lord, if you could find it in your heart, to give me a 10.
Gambling tips. I love it, Willie. I have something in common with you because I saw that you were a former security guard. And I was an overnight security guard for two summer breaks and from college at a big six-floor department store in upstate New York. And I don't know about your job, but every 2 hours, the guards there, we had to go to each floor, 90% dark, and use a key attached to each quarter of every floor. And we would insert this key into this box strapped into our belt to prove that we did the rounds. And I replaced a guard because I did overnights. I replaced a guard who got so freaked out at night making his rounds that he shot a mannequin. Honest to God, true story. And I mean,
shot a mannequin.
Oh yeah, no, it's a regular thing. And I could see why when I replaced him, you'd turn around in the dark, you'd see this human profile, and you'd swear some of them moved. I think they did. I mean, there's a good horror film in there somewhere. But you have a funny story about being a security guard.
I used to be a security guard at the LA Zoo. And I worked the graveyard shift, and so there's nobody there, man. You got to understand, at the zoo, at 2 a.m, there's nobody there. And back then, we used to patrol the inside of the zoo in a golf cart, me and the other guys, we would hook up the beer machines, So
really?
So we would get hammered, man. And then one time I lost my keys, and you talk about keys, you sign a document, man, a contract that if you lose the keys, you're automatically fired because they got to change all the locks, And there's back then it came with 100 keys. And I remember I lost my keys, man. I was drunk, and I was driving as fast as I could, and all these little turns. Anyway, long story short, man, I ate it. I totaled the little golf cart, and in the morning they're like, "What happened to the cart?" And and I had my story. I said, "You know why I joined the LA Zoo? Because I love animals." And I was driving, and a squirrel got in front of me. And I love animals so much that I could not kill the squirrel. So I was willing to jeopardize my own life for the safety of that squirrel. That's a good one, huh?
It is. Oh, man, that's right. But neither one of us were very good in the security guard career. I have to thank you. Go ahead, Willie.
No, I got to tell you, we're both security guards. But I got to tell you, I used to do radio too, man, in Sacramento. I was a morning guy for 3 years. At a hip hop station, KSFM 102.5, I'm nocturnal, so I could not. The hardest thing in the world was waking up at 5 a.m. to be happy. I was the grouchiest morning guy that ever existed, man.
I get you there, man. I tell you, if bad things happen in your life, you got to come to work with a smile and make people laugh. I mean, well, you're a comedian. I mean, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
And I got to thank you for Jay Leno invited you to perform for the troops in Afghanistan. And that's the one last thing I wanted to ask you about, my friend, is, I mean, laughter in Afghanistan. Could you tell us shortly about that?
Well, listen, it's funny, for the civilians out there, we think of these soldiers as men, but in reality, when you go out and you perform for the troops and you look out in the audience, man, these are kids, man. They all have these baby faces, So it gives you a good feeling that you're there, that we were there for Christmas, man, And you can feel that they're really welcoming and they're happy, man. But yeah, that was one of the things that I took from doing the show, was how young everybody looked. And then, I was with a good group of guys, man. I was with Chris Isaac, I was with Dwight Yoakam,
great country star.
Cedric the Entertainer and Jay and the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders, man.
God bless you, Willie. All right, so you're appearing tonight and tomorrow, the Laugh Factory at the Silver Legacy. Raucous, irreverent, never politically correct, Willie Barcena is one of the sharpest minds in comedy. And thank you, sir, because I have seen you, And I know you've been in the biz a long time. And, oh, my gosh, congratulations getting out of radio in the morning. Feeling awful and trying to be happy. I get it, man. Willie, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got to share this with you. I just started a residency in Vegas, man. I'm there every my residency in Vegas is every Tuesday and Wednesday.
I saw on your schedule after Reno, you're going to Vegas, and you're going to be there a long time, I guess, huh?
Yeah, a lot. Yeah. I've had them.
Do you like Vegas? Do you like performing there? Are people different in the audience?
Well, I'll tell you what's different. The hookers, you know? the hookers in Vegas are good looking.
Got to wrap it up.
All right. Well, I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, I get you, Willie.
All right.
On stage,
you radio.
It's radio. You know, on stage though, you got to tell the story on stage at the Silver Legacy.
I will.
People will come to hear that. Thank you, my friend.
All right, bro. See you.
Okay. Take care. That's Willie Barcina. Appearing at the Silver Legacy, the Comedy Store, tonight and tomorrow. I'm John Potter. Phone lines open up for you. 884-9910 is our number. The Douglas County Republicans coming up in the next half hour. We're going to be talking about the upcoming midterms, and Flippo was in town. Carson City is coming back, by the way. Another appearance. So all that's coming up, along with your Fox News and local news with Phil and for Greg. I'm John Potter, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1017.
99.1 KKFT.
This is what I think.
Talk that matters most. FM Talk, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. It's 1021, current temperature in Reno. Beautiful, 62 degrees. We have it made today for sure. I don't see anything wrong with traffic here. We got a mishap here, injury crash in Fallon, somewhere on Highway 95 there. Reno Sparks looking at the cameras. We're looking really good. As we've been reporting, the Forest Service at Lake Tahoe is considering jacking up fees for Tahoe visitors, they say. But no, the locals are not exempt. It's odd that they say it's for Tahoe visitors. Fees could be hiked for everything from parking to hiking. The U.S. Forest Service is proposing these new and increased recreation fees at 40-some spots at Tahoe, and that includes Emerald Bay, Echo Summit, Desolation Wilderness, one of my favorites. Some no-cost things would become pay to get in, like parking at the beaches. I know parking at Kiva Beach is free, but with this, it'll be $15 vehicle fee. That's proposed. And where you have to pay now would cost more. The $5 fee for the Eagle Falls picnic area and trailhead would jump to $15. Some sites I see here to $20. The Forest Service says this will help maintain the sites and fund seasonal staffers. They say Tahoe is, quote, experiencing increases in visitation and operating costs. But these potential new fees, from what I hear, is angering. Well, I'm angered, okay? But I hear it's really angering the locals who are already struggling with Tahoe's very high cost of living. The fees would end up limiting public access to public lands for many. You know, like retirees, the fixed income folks. Parking fees could also send people to use illegal parking areas. You're going to have that problem. The Forest Service recommends visitors carpool, okay, to trails where those fees may apply, all right? Public comment on the proposals is open until late September, but come on, they always, you know, they listen, they nod their heads, but then it happens. I know someone in Tahoe who actually is all for this. He says up to now, the rich people are wealthy enough to purchase property for their own private use. And the last time I went there, I was amazed at the number of new developments. But this guy had the attitude that higher fees would mean less crowds. For him, less riffraff is actually what he said. But you know what about these fees? I thought it's kind of funny because I thought it was pricey in the 70s and 80s going to Tahoe. Man, oh, to have those prices again now. But my main objection about this is we should not have to pay more fees to access public lands at Lake Tahoe. We already pay pretty hefty federal taxes to maintain these. That's what the setup was supposed to be in the beginning. That's where funding for national parks is supposed to come from, not hitting up people for paid admission. These are public lands, yet the residents there and here have fewer places where we can access the lake without paying another fee. It's amazing how much of shoreline at the lake is private and where it's public now. Fees. Public lands, and yet the residents there and here. Listen, Reno, we don't have fees going to our parks. But for Tahoe, they're going to have to pay the brunt of the visitors coming up and using them. So, you know, their local parks, they have to pay a fee being a resident. Why can't it be residents can use it for free? And like they have a card or something that, I don't know, that would work better. I just think it's gotten to the point where I did not realize there were still any free parking lots or beaches at Tahoe. I thought they feed them all away some time ago. So anyway, they're free for now. Let's keep them free like they're supposed to be at our parks. They're already making our own backyard increasingly unaffordable. I understand that popular sites need funding for maintenance, but Tahoe residents who, again, pay dearly to live there, they already bear the costs of tourism through the crowded beaches and the trails and less access. We should not be priced out because millions of visitors are placing greater demands on Tahoe. Can't the Forest Service create a free or discounted pass for people who live and work there? You would think, you know, residents would have a bigger voice for their own community. I think the higher fees will actually reduce and restrict Nevadans and leave Tahoe a playground for the higher income tourists from California. So no, we got to keep a lid on these proposed fees for sure. I promised somebody 2 weeks ago I would look into this NV Energy bill thing and didn't get to do it last Saturday. We were on location. I looked into it. Northern Nevada NV Energy customers could see changes to your electric and natural gas bills starting October 1st this year to reflect changes in fuel, purchased electricity, and natural gas costs. Electric customers, they say, will see lower bills, while natural gas customers get a small increase. For a typical residential electric customer, the change means a decrease of $1.86. For natural gas, it's an increase of $1.01. Now, in January, NV Energy implements what they call a new daily demand charge, which is calculated based on the 15-minute daily period where your usage peaks. All right, that doesn't sound right. So this charge is going to be based on the highest 15-minute usage of the day, not just a random 15 minutes. They pick the highest usage period. It doesn't sound good to me. The company says the new charge is not a rate increase, but a restructure. Oh, here's where they use words here. It's not a rate increase. It's a restructuring of how electric bills are calculated, don't you know? Other charges on customers' bills, like the basic service charge, will decrease to offset the daily demand charge. Okay. I will admit I don't fully understand that. And a question I have is, do data centers impact our NV Energy power bill? It seems they certainly would. You know, when they say one data center will use as much power as thousands of homes, it makes sense, right? To the question, and this was posted from a Las Vegas media company, they did a very intensive story on this, and their question was, do data centers lead to the proposed rate increase? Here's NV Energy's response. Data centers did not cause the implementation of the daily demand charge. Okay, but that's not what the question was. But okay, I won't interrupt. Data centers did not cause the implementation of the daily demand charge, nor did the growth of data centers contribute to the need for a change in the billing structure. Doesn't really answer the question. The utility also says the average residential customer would see an increase of 70 cents a month tied to the costs incurred by NV Energy in 2025 to purchase electricity and fuel used to provide service to customers. It seems like we're going in this big circle here. Okay, so now it's an increase of 70 cents a month. Let me back up to the beginning of this. And it says we get a bill decrease of $1.86. Okay, whatever you say. I'm John Potter, live and local. I'm just like you. Dollar here, dollar there. Okay. We're going to break for Fox News, local news. Phil is in for Greg today, and then we're going to be talking politics and in Nevada and what's the very latest on the upcoming midterms. And Mr. Flippo appearing in northern Nevada a few times, and he's coming back, and we'll tell you when and where. And coming up, too, I think the 11 o'clock hour is going to be award-winning. It's just, the topics I wrote down, especially about the firemen. Especially from, I think, 11:30 to noon. Award-winning. Absolutely. We're going to break for Fox News and local news. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 10:30.
The FM new news and talk of Northern Nevada. 92.3 FM Talk for Mason and Smith Valley. In Reno, Carson, and Douglas County, 99.1 FM Talk.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. I'm John Potter, live and local. Current temperature in Reno, 63 degrees. All right, political junkies. Actually, not just the junkies. No, everybody should be involved in this upcoming election that we have just months away. With us is John Crawford and Dr. Robert Houchin of the Douglas County Republican Central Committee. I'll plug those in, John. You don't really need them. I'm talking right here. He's got his headphones on. All right. Anyway, let's start with, Douglas County Republican Central Committee. I want to know, and I think a lot of others do, also because they didn't get out there, how was last Saturday's David Flippo Jim Jordan event with MC Jerry Evans? Tell us about it.
Well, it was fabulous. Jerry did a great job holding back to some extent, but he did a great job.
He held back? What, did you gag him?
We had over 100 people there at the Sunridge Golf Course, and right. After that they went up to the Automobile Museum in Reno. And I don't know what the turnout there was, but we had well over 100 people show up in at the Sunridge Golf Course. And Jerry did a great job. His message to everybody was, we got to hold these guys accountable. Once we get them in office, we have to be more active and engaged with our elected officials, and which is very good. And then he turned it over to David Flippo, and Flippo gave a rousing speech, best yet that I've seen. And he was looking at what we have to do go forward, what we're up against. He talked about the DSA Socialist and Communist Manifesto that's on the other side of the ledger. And he talked specific about his policies and looking forward rather than looking back, but looking forward what we can do. And then he brought on Jim Jordan, who did get a great job.
I'm amazed that you guys got Jim Jordan little golf course in Carson City.
Well, I don't
City.
Know that we did get him. I think it was Dave Flippo and his
relationship. I think he must be personal friends relationship with Dave.
Yeah. So what's your impression of David Flippo? He seems to have the energy, right?
Well, yeah, he gave a really good speech.
Was it like Saturday. Mainly ad-lib? I mean, is this the way?
Yeah, he was not reading from notes. He was coming
good.
From the heart.
From the heart.
Yeah. And he was gave the everything about American values and what we have to do to get ourselves back on track.
Mm-hmm.
He addressed the debt. He addressed immigration. He addressed the borders. He addressed all the communist policies you see coming out of the left side. education. He hit them all. Data centers. He touched on all of them.
And regardless of your opinion of any Flippo or any of the Republican candidates, the alternative is abysmal. So we have to get behind our Republican candidates, even if they're borderline in our own personal opinion. We've got to get behind them.
And he didn't just use it to advertise David Flippo. He preached the unity of the party down the ticket. Everybody's looking the whole ticket because, like Bob just said, we need the unity of the party to defeat this animal.
Animal? Did you say animal?
The socialist animal.
Oh, my goodness. Well, here's the fun part. We have a Labor Day event and parade. It's today in Virginia. No, it's Monday in Virginia City. And guess who's going to be there? Governor Lombardo.
Governor Lombardo will be there. We'll be walking in the parade with him. He'll be coming, I think, from Fallon to get there. He's got a full day. He's racing all over the state, and he's hitting all the counties. So we're going to catch him in Virginia City earlier in the morning. I think he's going to be in Fallon.
Yes, he's got NASCAR for a limousine.
Yeah.
And so we're going to be walking in parade with him, and then after the parade, he'll have a little social event in one of the local establishments there, and we'll join him for that. So it's going to be a—
Is that like an exclusive thing, or?
I don't believe so.
Oh, so we can follow where the governor goes and possibly meet him in Virginia City. How about the other candidates? Are they going to be in the parade too?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, awesome. Folks, I think a lot of people don't know that there's a parade in Virginia City on Monday. And
starts at noon.
Starts at noon. Parade, Virginia City on Monday. And the name of it is Labor Day Event.
And the parades in Virginia City are always awesome.
Yeah, they are, aren't they?
Yes.
They're kind of flamboyant and so old west. I love that. All right, let's get a midterm election status report from you guys. John, we'll start with you.
Well, all these candidates are on the road, and they're really tearing it up. Not seeing a lot of signage and literature around, but there's a lot of social media play, and they're making public appearances. We had a great meeting last month with our Republican Central Committee monthly meeting.
Yeah.
We had Drew Johnson, Jim Marchant, and David Flippo there as a panel taking questions and talking to us about their platforms and their agendas and their priorities. And it was a wonderful event. We had maybe 80 folks there in attendance, and they took a number of questions, but these guys are out on the road. Like Lombardo is going to be at the parade. He's also going to be at, I think, Cellar 8 Wine Bar in Carson City on this coming week, I think September 8th from 4 to 6 for meet and greet. These guys are getting out and about, so it's very active. And so there's no reason not to know what these guys are about.
Well, the governor's serious about this. So many ads. On TV, I've never seen the governor smile that much, right?
There you go.
I met him a few times. It's like, oh my gosh, Nicole Cannizzaro has a smile. I didn't know that. She had the most wicked, wicked frump face. But it's a campaign season. What can you say? Midterm election status, how does it look to you?
Well, it's going to come down to turnout. If we have a 40% turnout, we lose. If we have a 55% turnout, we win. It's really as simple as that. If you stay home, you're voting for a Democrat. So we're banging on doors. John and his wife Sally and my wife Linda and I are all going down to Las Vegas to bang on doors down there. We've got the national convention coming up in October. Mm-hmm. So we're beating the bushes and doing everything we can to get people to get out and vote.
I know you guys, and I know you guys are. Hot campaign issues that have come up pretty recently, data centers and flock cameras. Now, have you taken sides on the data centers? I don't know what the real stand is.
I personally am struggling with that because I'm trying to do my own research to make my own opinion.
Me too.
And I'll mostly what I'm getting right now is a lot of hyperbole, a lot of talking points, a lot of emotion, a lot of a hidden agenda. But I do a lot of reading on the other side, and I can get some of the facts. I'm formulating my understanding because there's a lot there to know. A lot of people focus on the power requirements, the water requirements, how things are being cooled, and even on the noise. Part of me says those are all technical items that can, through human ingenuity, can be solved over time, if not already being solved. I'm more concerned about what's going on in these things. What are they collecting? What are they storing? How are they aggregating this data? Where are they selling it to? Who's the customers of this data? Who's using it? Goes right back to the Fourth Amendment and personal privacy.
I'm more amazed and alarmed by how many people are against them based on something somebody posted on Reddit or Facebook.
It's incredible.
Now, this makes me really suspicious because it's pretty much a fact that China is doing all it can to stop the growth of data centers in the U.S. because they want to dominate. This is the future.
Yes.
And they want to put a stranglehold on our growth and our entire country. And they're doing all their funny internet stuff and scamming and faking news on Facebook and hiding behind counterfeit names and trying to get this fake news out that the data centers will destroy our lives. But the more research you do, you find out that there are new versions of this technology that don't use the water that they initially said it would.
We're on data centers 8.0. Data center 1.0 had some issues.
Right.
But at this stage of the game, I think they represent a significant economic contribution. Mm-hmm. Loudoun County, Virginia has 240 data centers contributing $1.2 billion in tax revenues annually. So no question, I agree with John that we have to have accountability, but I think they represent a significant opportunity for economic growth, jobs, and investments in our communities.
Well, I do too. And China's just trying to kill our economy, and so far they're doing a good job with it with this issue. Okay, flock cameras. Do we have a stand on flock cameras with the Republican Party?
Same thing as data centers. It's one of those things that it's emerging. The general population is just getting knowledgeable on this stuff and understanding what's going on. And when you talk to law enforcement and whatnot, they talk to you that all the safety guardrails are there, yet you hear otherwise. And you read otherwise, and you understand what the flock company is doing and buying and selling information and whatnot. So this is all hearsay, and I'm trying to get down to the facts and see who's doing what with what, and how is this data stored, managed, and what's the capability. I mean, if you got a great sheriff, which we do in Douglas County, I mean, they manage that system in a safe, secure manner. But if Joe Smith comes in and has a different agenda, you know, things could come uncorked. So I want to know what the capability is and how the guardrails are in place to protect citizens and their privacy.
Well, I'm going to alienate some people right here, but I'll tell you, you know who is really against these flock cameras? It's criminals, crooks, murderers.
Yes.
Every episode I see, my wife loves these ID channel shows, most all of them are caught by cameras. These are killers. These are murderers. They murder their wives, and they steal, and they create their drunken drivers. And all the evidence is on these cameras. And the biggest opponent of the flock cameras are the crooks and the criminals.
And that's 100% true. But public safety should never require surrendering our privacy and freedom. So
I don't really see the threat there. I mean, I hate to say an old, the old line, don't do anything wrong and they won't bother you.
Freedom and privacy. Freedom and privacy matter. And once surveillance infrastructure is built, it's difficult to go backwards.
All right. I got to take a break here. I guess you're getting some texts, so we got to run through your upcoming schedules and events here. We're going to take a break, be back shortly. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 1049.
Live and local on 92.3 FM Talk in Smith and Mason Valley, 99.1 FM Talk, and 99.1FMTalk.com.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. John Potter here with John Crawford and Dr. Robert Houchin of the Douglas County Republican Central Committee. Unusual midterms. We only have two statewide ballot questions. Question six and seven. Take it, John.
All right. Question six is the abortion issue. And question six, as it's written, basically opens up the gates to our existing abortion law, which allows for abortion up to 6 months and requires doctors' participation and parental notification for minors. And moving forward, they want to take all those guardrails off, all the safety precautions off in terms of what kind of medical facility can perform abortions, and they want to take it from a 6 month to a 9 month limit on abortion. So we believe it's taking all the safety guardrails away from an existing safe, more safe protocol, and puts women's lives in jeopardy, we believe.
So, yes.
Another egregious aspect of six is that it's constitutional. It makes a change in our constitutional law that makes it incredibly difficult, if not impossible, to change it going forward.
All right, definite no vote there. Question seven, ID.
Voter ID is kind of a first installment of election integrity, which we need to really get back to. It's common sense. The need for voter ID has been talked about forever, and it passed in 2024, and this too would be a constitutional amendment to Nevada's constitution, making voter ID a requirement. It's the second time around, passed by 73% in 2024. It's got strong support, bipartisan support again, just like nationally. And so we are looking forward to voter ID becoming the law in Nevada once again.
All right. What you call the DSA threat, that's the Democratic Socialists of America. You guys really think it's a threat?
Well, they are broad-based. They've got something like 282 candidates across the country. 165 have progressed to November ballots. 64 are on school boards, 76 of them are on state legislatures, 5 of them are statewide, like governors, secretaries of state, and 19 of them are federal level, Congress and Senate. So they're out there, they've got a very progressive message.
Yeah, they have won some primaries.
They've got the Democrat Party in a vice grip, but Democrat Party is beholden to them, bowing to them, kneeling to them, and so every Democrat is going to be espousing DSA values. And along with that comes your... The new one that people may not have heard of is Indivisible, which is endorsing Teresa Benitez Thompson, a very progressive left-wing communist-style organization. So they're out there, and they're moving forward, and they're growing like crazy. So and they're here in Nevada. They're in Vegas. They're in northern Nevada. They're at UNR. They're in Indivisible is in Incline, Winnemucca, Elko.
I know you,
Carson
and
City.
Yeah.
So they're here. They're making a footprint and making an impact, and they're owning the Democrat Party.
Rural County Strategy Meeting in Carson City on the 18th. You're hosting that?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's important, right? But aren't the rurals already in the pocket here?
Yeah,
if I have to be crude about this.
Yeah, my good friend Susan Rue, chairman of Carson City Republican Party, is hosting it. And it's a gathering of all the rural county chairmen to set their strategy and come together, have a common approach to being successful in this midterm election.
October 18th, a Douglas County barbecue with Governor Lombardo, Jerry Evans, MC.
We're really looking forward to that. We're looking forward to all of the listeners coming and joining us for some good food and some uplifting speeches from both Jerry and the governor.
How can people attend?
You go to our website, douglasnvgop.org. There's a button there to get tickets. Tickets are $99, and this is going to be catered by Carson City Barbecue. So we're going to have some really good food and some really good times. And you got to come. John's going to be in the dunk tank. John Crawford, our chairman, is going to be in the dunk tank. So you got to come and dunk John.
Okay. October 16.
Governor Lombardo will be our keynote speaker at that event. So.
He's a good speaker. I was really impressed with him at Lincoln Day Dinner.
Yeah.
Air Show, October 16th. You guys going to be there?
A lot of stuff going on in Douglas in October. I will be there. I don't know if we'll have a tent out there, but we'll be there and trying to sell barbecue tickets, and we'll be having a good old time. It's going to be a great show. It's been a while since they had the air show in Douglas.
All right.
But it's going to be a great, and they're going to have a nighttime event on Friday. It's going to be really fabulous.
And do you have the Republican Women Throwback USO Dinner Dance on the website?
It's not on our website, but it's on DCRWNevada.com. That's
all right.
Douglas County Republican Women's website. That's going to be another great event.
All right.
A throwback to Rosie the Riveter days.
Going to be a lip sync contest in that.
That's October 11. Folks, go to DouglasNVGOP.com. Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Take care. I'll be back. 99.1 FM Talk.